Welcome to week six or whatever podcast this is of the Rebirth Podcast. My name's Steve Gang. I'm joined here with Dan Wood, and we're going to talk about how Leafs last week is and form the power rankings.
Is that before or after your rant?
Oh, yeah. So we will open off first with trades. This league is notorious for not trading. Usually we get, I think, maybe average one trade a season. And it's, I mean, I'm not really helping the cause. I've only sent out a couple offers. And I think one I thought was reasonably fair, and one was definitely not, was just me being like, well, this person never pays attention. Let me just shoot my shot.
I appreciate your honesty.
But yeah, I just want to talk about like some of the trades. For me, it's, I have my favorites. I guess this year I don't really have any favorites. I'd say Jordan Addison would be the one person I don't want to trade because he's a good keeper for me. He's a Vikings player. I want to keep my Vikings. But otherwise, I feel like every person on my team is fair game for trades. But as long as it's like a fair trade, and that I think the best way to do it is just using a trade value chart, be it CBS, be it Fantasy Pros, just like some of the experts saying like, oh, this is a reasonable trade. For those of you who don't know how trade charts work, because you don't make any trades, is all the players get a number for their rest of season rankings. For example, Josh Jacobs is 28 for the rest of the season, and Josh Herbert is 18. Justin Herbert, not Josh. I knew that sounded wrong.
Hello, Josh.
Justin Herbert is 18. So if they were paired in a trade, that would be 46. And so when somebody offers, let's say, Damian Pierce, Cam Akers, and Geno Smith, for example, hypothetically, that is Damian Pierce is 12. Cam Akers and Geno Smith don't even have numbers attributed to them because, well, for one, Geno Smith just got dropped, and two, Cam Akers, it's still unknown what he's going to do. So that would be a 46 to 12 trade value. And so that's something where it's like, okay, this is an insulting trade. Why even bother offering it? And in one way, I can agree with that if they are open to return trades and you make another offer, say, like Justin Herbert and Rashad White for Kenneth Walker and Cam Akers, for example, hypothetically, where that one is a little bit closer. The Herbert-White side would still have the advantage with the 18 and 9 to Walker's 28. So not necessarily a great trade, but it's, hey, let's talk about this. Let's keep talking. And instead just gets shut down and no more trade happening at all. And it drives me insane.
Good to get that off your chest.
And, no. And one other thing, another reason why I feel like I have a vendetta against Teddy. Started this season with a trade offer of I can't read my writing. All right. How do you feel about trades? And I'll come back with that trade offer. What he gave me.
So I guess as we were talking a little before we came on air, I'm apprehensive about trades. I'm one of the ones you hate. Because, you know, I do kind of always assume maliciousness with a trade, like somebody's trying to take advantage of me, even if they may not be. So I normally think that either A, it's too lopsided and like, fuck you, don't offer that and insult me. Or B, this seems too close. Fuck you, what do you know that I don't? But in general, it's a fuck you. Like, that's how I approach it. So I guess with that mindset, I'm apprehensive to trade because I feel like either I'm going to get hosed, either I'm getting hosed and I know it, or I'm getting hosed and I don't realize it, but either way I'm getting hosed. So It's just hard to accept. And I mean, I think we're still pretty close to the draft. I mean, we're only, you know, 5 weeks in, so there's still some allegiance to people you put a lot of draft stock in, or else Najee Harris would have been cut yesterday. So, you know, you still have that hope that this person that you thought was going to be good and, you know, you put your neck out for is still going to come through for you at some point. And you're just going to hold on and see. So I think hopefully it'd make it a little spicier, you know, week 7, 8, 9, maybe. But I think there still is a little bit of draft loyalty sniffing around that makes people apprehensive to let go of some of their starters.
Well, we're halfway to the trade deadline. So we're halfway there. So maybe we do have 5 more weeks to make some trades. Back to the vendetta against Teddy. Before the season even started, this is before Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Jahmyr Gibbs and DeAndre Hopkins for Garrett Wilson and Josh Jacobs. It's just like, what are you doing? What kind of trade is that? Is it a trade to get me fired up? Because it worked.
Yeah, but didn't you just say that you offered trades to people who weren't paying attention?
I'm paying attention. Teddy's paying attention. That's an insult. The trade that I did was to...
Okay, you said insulting trades. It's not okay if they send them to you, I guess. Is that...
I sent it to Bazooka Sharks, 0-4, DK Metcalf for...
You mean...
Christian Kirk, 1-4. No. Was 0-4 at the time of the offer. Maybe 0-3. But Christian Kirk for DK Metcalf. Not a fair trade. That's me showing, hey, I'm interested in DK Metcalf, person who doesn't pay attention at all. And they never rejected the trade, so I finally took it off. But I could have offered them Garrett Wilson and Josh Jacobs for DK, and it wouldn't have been anything. So that was just me pretending to – yeah, okay. I made an awful trade at some point, but it wasn't rejected, so maybe he was thinking about it. I don't know.
Clear. But yeah, I mean, I agree that it would spice things up a little bit to see some trades, and I mean, I do think it is a underutilized method in our league, you know, for good teams off to a good start to sort of position themselves for a deep postseason run. And for teams that start off, say, 1-4, to get a must win and move some of their talent to try to get some people who are actually going to score points. So, you know, we kind of do end up where the bottom teams flounder and the top teams, you know, they could get stronger and start looking at postseason schedules and things, just sort of go with, you know, who they've got and don't really do that sort of forward thinking if they're sitting at 4-1, 3-2 kind of thing.
Yeah. So to end off the rant, I am saying anybody who offers me a trade that is fair according to a trade chart, or if it gives me an advantage, I'll definitely accept that as well. I feel like Addison is the one that I don't want to include in those trades, but I'm trying to upgrade my running backs because I have my running backs are ranked 8th, 19th, 25th. So I'm trying to upgrade one of them. My wide receivers are also, again, middle of the pack. I have the 8th wide receiver and then the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 29th wide receiver, which at the beginning of the season, you would not guess that Garrett Wilson would be that 29th. Wide receiver. If anybody has faith in the Aaron Rodgers coming back with his Achilles heel strategies, even though he doesn't believe in medicine, you can have Garrett Wilson. That'd be dope if ayahuasca just like healed your body like stem cells.
I'll give you Cole Kmet for Garrett Wilson.
Right here Cole Kmet for Garrett Wilson.
Right here on the podcast.
Don't want anything to do with anything with the Bears. Except, I guess, DJ Moore. I don't even really want DJ Moore, but it's hard to argue against that production. Whereas
Najee Harris for Garrett Wilson, or else I'm probably going to cut him.
I told you not to draft Najee Harris when you drafted him. I want nothing to do with him. Now if there are Jalen Warren for Garrett Wilson, I think about that. So I don't know who has Jalen Warren.
You just rejected 2 trades.
those are two players you're going to drop. That's not a trade. I can wait. And you're going to drop them. I'll pick them up.
Keep it professional. We'll take it off the podcast.
I will trade you Tank Bigsby for Najee Harris. How about that?
Nah, I'm good.
And then we can both drop the equal players and move on with our lives. You can have CJ Stroud, too. Bigsby and Stroud for Najee Harris and Cole Kmet.
That's a meaningless
trade. You want to offer me players? Well, you're the one trying to give me players you're about to drop.
Okay, so power rankings.
Power rankings. We have in the top tier about the same. No, it is the same as last year or last week. Norman, Teddy, Wes Carrollton, and Roy Jones Jr. in the top four. One team still undefeated. And one team just putting up massive amounts of points. I feel like you have to argue for the 5-0 team to keep the number one spot.
I do lean that way, even though we say every week that it's not a records ranking, it's a power ranking. But like we also say, there's something to be said for never losing. Now, Teddy, 2 weeks in a row, has now put up some pretty monstrous numbers, 146 in week 5, 164 in week 4. So, you know, if that trend continues, it's going to be hard to argue against. You know, he's definitely making a case for at least being number 2. But Norman's 5-0. He's the only team that's 5-0.
Highest score with somebody on bye and Shamir Gibbs getting 0 points?
That would have been in week.
Am I reading that right? Week 5.
He didn't get high score in week 5.
He got second. He got second highest score. He got 146 points, and he had Jameer Gibbs get a goose egg, and he started Tyler Lockett, who was on a bye.
That's a true statement.
So yeah, so DJ Moore is not going to get 45 points, 3 touchdowns, 230 yards,
and the Dallas defense got negative 1.5. So he had 3 players combined for negative 1.5 points and still put up 146. Yes, that is a true statement.
And Christian McCaffrey got 14. He didn't even carry the team.
Correct.
Oh, my God. What an anomaly.
You say that, but I don't know.
I mean, I'll give him second because he put up the points, but who did he lose to?
I mean, I'm here for a case for, like I said, I mean, I think the only other two possible candidates here are Wes Carrollton or Roy Jones Jr. Roy Jones Jr. just got passed by Milkshake Teddy for most total points in the league. Wes Carrollton put up a solid week in week 5 with a 134, but week 4 was a 77, still sitting at 3-2. Just lost Achan to IR for 4 weeks. So, I mean, I can't make a case for anybody being above Teddy at this point.
Teddy's only loss is to Norman, who's number one. So, that's what it is, man. He's put up a bunch of points. The only time he hasn't put up 100 points is against Norman. All right, yeah. We'll give Norman number one, Teddy number two. I want to give Roy Jones Jr. number three just because I have no facts to back that up with. Give it to the older brother, who's 2-3.
I do think it's true. He has Mostert, nice, who's going to benefit from Achane being an IR in a high-powered Dolphins offense. If he can finally get what's his nuts back on the field,
Eckler.
Either Eckler or the Packers dude, Aaron Jones. I think if he can get his running backs back,
that was a turn in the veins.
Yeah, he'll be in a decent spot. You know, Mark Andrews is finally starting to come on. Kyren Williams is still strong-ish, but yeah, I think I'm giving him the slight edge. Especially with Achane going down, you know, any team starting Russell Wilson, pretty weak ass in my book. So Plus, he put Zach Moss on the bench. He scored 40. He benched Zach Moss again with like a plus 25 point game. You know, who's managing this team?
He's back-to-back worst manager, but I mean, looking at his team, potentially arguably best drafter. He drafted a great team. He just doesn't know how to manage it.
Well, you got to do both to be good in this league. That's why it gets you number four, not number three.
To be fair, I wouldn't have known who to start over, Taylor or Moss, which I guess if I had listened to some of the podcasters, they're saying that Taylor is going to be on a pitch count. But I would not have predicted Zach Moss to get that. Tennessee is supposed to have a great run defense. Turns out, not so much.
Not so much. But
and then TJ is going to start getting a lot more points with Jefferson out. Who knows what's happening to Devonta Smith. Kamara's back and doing well. Yeah, I'll give him fourth. I mean, I want to make an argument for myself at fifth because I'm
of course you would.
The last 3-2 team. I guess Sam's 3-2.
I put you and Sam near each other. I think an argument can be made for both. I mean, he's 3-2 despite 75 more total points against him over 5 weeks. So I mean, he did just lose week 5.
He's only scored 20 more points.
You know, you won week 5, but really only because my team is complete doo-doo. To be fair,
I would have beat his team as well.
By a tenth of a point, yes.
Yeah, but I still would have beat him. Those are the two teams that I could have beat this week. And luckily, I was playing one of them.
Yeah, week before that, he beat you by a point. So, I mean, I really do think you guys are kind of right there in the same sort of good, not great boat. You know, he did lose Justin Jefferson to IR, so that's a big loss.
Which is my gain with Jordan Addison.
As long as he plays.
He'll play. James Cook, who knows what's happening with him. Kyle Pitts is whatever he is. He does have the best receiver on the Chiefs, but that's not a tight end.
I would say your team feels a little more well-rounded than Sam's does.
I think as I was saying in the trade rant, my team is the epitome of mediocre. I don't think I'll ever be number one in the league, but I don't think I'll be number 12 in the league.
Well, you won't.
And now that the that's we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. So I think I've earned the right to be ranked above him. Tory dropped. How did he do this? Oh, he did better than me, but he's 2-3. So sorry, bud.
Yeah, I mean, he's had weeks where he's played really well. He did get kind of steamrolled in week 5 by Teddy. But before that, I mean, he had some decent steam behind him. It was a 127 in week 4. It was 126, a loss by 2 in week 3. That's a heartbreaker. 125 in week 2. I mean, he's putting up good numbers, but they're just not translating to a ton of wins. I mean, he did this week take over the poop spot of having the most points scored against him through 5 weeks. So, I mean, that's how you lose games is when people average 123 points against you. But it's also how it's going to hurt your ranking in the power ranking. You know, play some defense. Shoot.
He did just pick up Brock Purdy, which is going to help.
So
he has solid running backs.
Even with Sam
and Devontae Adams. Is just,
yeah, with Sam at 3-2, I think that's Sam. Kind of a – especially losing Justin Jefferson. I mean, Justin Jefferson was the points machine for Sam and really carrying that team. So it's going to be a big test to see who can make up that point loss of like 25 points a game. So I think, I mean, if we're talking true power rankings, which we are,
How long is Higgins going to be out? Is he out for another week or is it unknown?
Higgins, I don't know. I haven't heard any news about him. I mean, they didn't put him on IR or anything. So.
Because if he's out for another week, then that's
top two receivers. I still don't know what I think of the Bengals offense, even if he's healthy. I just don't know what they are. I don't think they know what they are.
They're trying to figure it out. Luckily, he has Goff. Goff is a great second pick for instead of Burrow, but yeah, I can't imagine Pacheco is going to keep up the points he's been doing. Yeah, I don't know. I agree that Torrey could be above Sam.
If Sam can win a game or two in a row without Justin Jefferson, then I'll eat some crow and move him a little bit higher. But I do think that's going to hurt a lot.
Well, Sam's playing number one Norman next week.
Well, then I'll definitely bump him. If he can pull that off, then with a Jefferson-less squad.
James Cook's playing the Giants. That's helpful. But yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it next week. But we'll leave him
a nice little bit of weight right there with you and Torrey too. So I mean, I think that middle of the pack will shake out a little bit after week six and really see where people stand.
And I think to wrap up this second tier, I think we can give that to Jake. I think he successfully crawled himself out of the basement tier, making some good changes. Picked up two running backs on waivers because some other people screwed up the order, and to Jake's benefit.
Listen, I picked up my third tight end. I couldn't be happier. Can't you tell?
So, yeah, Jake's got Jeff Wilson to add to the mix. He's got DeMercado, which we'll see what happens in Arizona. I'm not entirely convinced that DeMercado is going to come in and put up James Conner numbers, but
on the off chance he does, I mean, that's the gamble, you know. He's still rostering Zeke Elliott for some reason I can't quite fathom. But I don't know.
It's just hard to drop some people.
You do you, I guess. Maybe I'll trade. I'll trade him Najee Harris.
That'd be there. You go. Speaking of meaningless trades, he might do it too.
They're scoring about the same. They're both trash offenses. Second options in their trash offense. Difference is, one got drafted in like the 13th round, and one got drafted in the second.
Yeah.
Anyways, we have plenty of time to shit on my team. We haven't gotten there yet.
So then, yeah, going down to
speaking of the poop tier,
the bottom bracket, the poop tier,
bottom bitches.
Luckily, Bazooka Sharks got their first win.
Got off the
schneid against Roy Jones Jr. Unfortunately, to him that we just ranked third. But Bazooka Sharks had a good showing, but they're still 1-4, so they're not going to get this next level. I think it's going to be between Billy Vegas and the Lucky Ducks, where I am going to give advantage to the Lucky Ducks because on their teams, they still got Mahomes, who's figuring it out. Montgomery's been crushing it until he gets hurt, which he probably will. They're wide receivers. They could use some more wide receivers.
Well, and again, looking at just straight numbers, it's, you know, the Ducks have 551 against them through 5 weeks. Billy Vegas has 459. So teams are averaging almost 20 points more a week against the Ducks than Billy Vegas, and they have the same record. You know. There's something to be said for just sort of running into big scoring. So Ducks is ahead of Vegas by about 25 points four. So though, without even looking at rosters, just looking at numbers, you can tell that the Ducks have just had some bad weeks where they've run up against some big numbers. They scored 121 and lost. You know, that score would have beat 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other players in this league. So
yeah,
I do think I lean that way. Given the spot to the Ducks, I mean, they still got Derrick Henry, Patrick Mahomes, Dear Montgomery's crushing it. Jamar Chase finally came on and should be, as long as they can be what they should be. Christian Watson's a buy low candidate that I think should have to have better days ahead. So there's talent on the roster for sure.
Maybe I could trade CJ Stroud to Billy Vegas because he has Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Just yeah, fully invest in that Tank Texans that. Offense.
I won't try to sway people. I don't want to say that out loud on the podcast and then ruin a trade, but I mean, Tank Dell is the burner. You know, he's going to catch like one pass for 70 yards or nothing. So I don't really want to play that game in fantasy too much if I can help it.
Yeah, it scored Nico Collins last week.
But I just, you know, Lamar Jackson is normally good. Not last week, but you know, Khalil Herbert's hurt. Swift is good. CeeDee Lamb's on. Who the fuck knows what the Cowboys are these days? The George Kittle game is an aberration. They're not going to play the Cowboys every week. So you know, 2, 4, 10, 1, 24. I mean, that's not going to happen again. But Nico Collins is the real deal. I'll give him that. But I just think skill wise, I think there's more talent on Ducks than Vegas. I think Vegas just has worse matchups. They'll have some softer matchups going ahead, including a week 6 matchup against Powerhouse, the Aris variant, which should be a win for the Ducks. So, and Vegas is playing Roy Jones Jr., probably a loss at this point.
Yeah, I'll give it to the Ducks, Vegas, and then we'll talk bottom tier here.
Is there a talk?
I mean, do you think that you're the absolute bottom of the barrel?
I think my team is absolute trash. I think that of those two teams, last week one put up 129 and one put up 68.
Well, looking at Bazooka Sharks, their quarterback is Richardson or Dak Prescott, so that's not good. They have Breece Hall, and that's and Kelsey, but if Kelsey doesn't play, they put in Cooper Kupp, so they saw my unfair trade offer and just decided nothing. So maybe they were thinking about it.
I started Josh Reynolds last week, Steve. Josh Reynolds and Romeo Dubs. Started for my team. I'm playing Rashawn Johnson, who still is in the protocol. Miles Sanders.
I mean, as you're saying all those names, and I'm looking at his team, then yeah, you probably should be at the bottom.
I really have no talent on my team. My top three picks were Saquon, Najee, and Miles Sanders. I thought I was set. I was not set. I do get Amon-Ra back. That'll help. But Chris Olave's been a disappointment all season. You know, I'm switching out mediocre tight ends. My running back's below. Trevor Lawrence has been fine. But I really don't have a lot of – nobody with a high ceiling. A lot of people with a low floor. I mean, I feel weird, like, arguing against my team, but it's pretty easy to do.
I mean, it's definitely a team that I've looked at and decided that I want nobody on it.
I mean, Michael Thomas is getting, you know, 8-9 targets a game. If he can pull some TDs in, he'll be in a better spot. You know, he's at 7-7, 5-7, 8. You know, with one score in half those games, you know, he's in the teens, and we're talking about him differently. So, like, Terry McLaurin has a higher ceiling. Michael Thomas has a high ceiling. Breece Hall's doing well. Travis Kelce. He finally got Cooper Kupp back, who saw how many targets in his first game? 12 in his first game back for 118 in his first game back. Like, he's about to be Cooper Kupp again. I think after this week, it'll be very clear that I have the worst team in this league.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
I know.
I was able to beat you by almost 20 points, and I got the third lowest score.
Yeah, I mean, I'm averaging 82 points a week. That's not going to win you a ton of weeks. And really, my points against is not that high. People aren't scoring a ton against me. I'm at 456. That's only 91 points a game. Like, you know, everybody ahead of me is really the only outlier besides me is Billy Vegas. Billy Vegas is 459, but the next teams above me in the record rankings, 585 against, 551, 615, 608, 590.
Well, look at number one, it's 477.
Right. So, I mean, I'm in the, got to be what looks like the bottom, or like the, I guess we'll call it the best, like the best three in points against, and I'm still 1-4.
Yeah, you have been set up for success. And
choice matchups.
Failed.
Correct. Do I need to keep going? Do I need to say more? Have I convinced you yet?
Oh, no, you convinced me a while ago. I think I said it, but
I just kept on rolling.
I was willing to let you just keep going. I got my rant for like 5 minutes about trades.
Yeah, it's been rolling around in my head here for, I don't know, 2-3 weeks at this point, seems like. So I think I'm going to give it one more week. And if I can't win this week, then it's probably going to be sort of cut them all. Like literally everyone. You can't do worse than this. But is it going to hurt my heart when I cut my like round two and round three running backs and nobody picks them up off waivers? Probably. Do they earn it? Yeah.
You got to start figuring out how to trade for draft picks next year. Like trade a. I've always thought about a trade for like, do you think a first and a fourth round is the equivalent of a second and third round? If you were to trade that, or would it have to be like a first and a sixth for a second, third?
Yeah, I mean, first round picks are just so valuable. Like, I mean, they can be.
Look at your first round pick.
Well, but even, I mean, even I was picking at like eight, I guess. It does depend. I mean, the first five picks, the value there is worth, you know, two, you know, first like 10 overall picks. I mean, if Nick Chubb hadn't died, he would still be super valuable. Justin Jefferson's been super valuable. McCaffrey, valuable. Bijan Robinson's been pretty good. Eckler was a bust. Don sucks. But Derrick Henry, great. Kelsey, great. And then Saquon Barkley wasn't bad before he got hurt. Again, I mean, Eckler, Barkley, hurt. Really the biggest, like, healthy bust. Really, Josh Jacobs been fine. Hill's been fine. Diggs been fine. I mean, that really, the first round picks have pretty much overall hit, if not for
Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has had one game over 20. And he had two against the Browns and seven against the Colts. So, I would say it's not like a bust, but
I mean, not a world beater. But again, it would take a lot to pry a first round pick off of me. Like, I would almost never trade away a first round pick without getting one back. I can't imagine how much you'd be hamstrung starting out with no first round pick.
See, that's, but if you had like 2 second round picks, I mean, I guess most people drafted quarterbacks in this league, which wasn't that helpful.
I mean,
I'm just trying to see if there's like a round where it's like there was a benefit. Like, yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs is a third round bust. I feel like that's the first. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, say you got, you know, you got 2 second round picks and you pick Najee Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. And you traded away your pick that was Travis Kelce. You know, no thank you.
Right.
The talent fall off, especially in running backs. I mean, there's running back talent is sparse to begin with. There's at the end of the season, maybe like 4 or 5 that are solid every week, like league winning running backs. If that. Right now,
so what about like a second round for a second and a fifth for a third and fourth? Like something with that,
yeah,
equation of a trade.
If I'm trading back 8 spots in the second and picking up a fourth or a fifth, that I could get behind. especially if you.
Because the other issue is we don't know. I don't know if this is something we can talk to Don about. Of like, if we can open the trade block, like when we know what the draft order is, or at least just sometime in the summer to like trade sleepers or what have you. I don't know if that's possible or an option, but. That's something that I would like to see happen of like, oh, I have this good sleeper that I wasn't thinking of back in November or whenever the trade deadline is. But now it's like, I'll trade you.
Trade sleeper rights. I think you could probably do that. I mean, it would just come down to, you know, yeah, the commission stepping in and, you know, manually adjusting the draft. But you could probably, yeah, trade sleeper rights. So that would add another.
But I mean, you would have to like trade the player by the trade deadline, I feel like is how you. Because, yeah, I think it's like, because you can't trade draft picks after the trade deadline either.
Correct.
And so I think it is something that, I mean, nobody trades anyways, so Don might as well, and then you and I can trade draft picks around.
Well, and if anything, you know, we can create some drama because, you know, whatever we decided to even discuss, Michael complained about it in the chat, and you know that always entertains me during my morning poop. So you know, if anything, we can get some chat going.
Well, if it gets down to it, I'd be interested in a trade of I will trade you every single one of my draft picks for every single one of your draft picks for next year to just really mess with, except one. Trade them all but one.
No,
the 14th round. And
I'm gonna see
what happens.
I'm about to win the consolation bracket and pick my spot anyway, so you wait.
You're not going to win the consolation bracket. If there was like a lower bracket, you... Like, if there was a worst team in the league, it's like, I kind of wish that there was a benefit for a team doing bad. Like, part of me, again, just wants to like... open the hatch on changing the waiver wire process to
don't start this again. Oh no.
The worst team
Oh, no.
Getting waiver priority.
Oh no. He's just feeding Mike at this point. It's going to start it all over again.
Do you think he actually listens to this? At least this far. Like, I don't know. How long have we been talking? Like 40 minutes?
If whatever two people are listening, just don't tell them. We can't do this again. At least for this season,
we'll I just the chat's been quiet. Nobody's even commented on the last podcast. I don't think anybody listens to it, so I feel like everything is fair game. I mean, it is trash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's objectively trash commentary for sure.
Yeah. The only thing worse is maybe your team, but
my team is so bad.
Yet to be. I mean, it's kind of like taking the Cowboys approach where it's like got a great defense, not a lot of points against, but just absolute garbage.
Thank you.
Is that an accurate assessment?
I think that's probably true. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that is a non-spicy take.
Okay. Well, anybody still listening, let's see some trade offers.
I do want to, I mean, I wrap up, you know, with some kind of coherent look ahead to week two, to the week 6 matchups, and just sort of see what we're going to be talking about next week. Because again, we covered the, you know, is Sam for real? Can he take down the champ? Get a win against Utah right now. He is not slated to. He's slated to lose by 21. So I think that'll be a good matchup. I do think, you know, kind of vying for those 5-6, you know, playoff position spots, you and all-time Joe, I think is going to be a good matchup. So I'd like to see who's going to win that, because that's, you know, right around there is where the playoff cutoff is going to be, is those kinds of teams. And there are a lot of teams that kind of need a win to stay viable at all, which is me, you know. ETNS needs to string some wins together, especially against a strong milkshake team, if they want to stay in the conversation. So there aren't a lot of like Clash of the Titan matchups, like not a lot of top tier matchups. There's a lot of sort of top and bottoms, the West Skeleton Bazooka Sharks, the Roy Jones Billy Vegas matchups, stuff like that. So there is some upset potential there. ETN Ass, Milkshake Teddy kind of stuff. So it will be interesting to see how it shakes up the power rankings and if our job's gonna be difficult next week with some of these top tier, bottom tier matchups. So it might be an easy week next week to rank. It might be a tough week. All we know is I'll be at the bottom.
I am wondering if Sharks actually set the lineup, if they can upset Mike next week.
They can take down, yeah.
I think they could. If they actually set their lineup, they could do it. But they're going to have to get quarterback, I think. Yeah. Maybe I'll offer him CJ Stroud for DK Metcalf. Yeah, I'll come up. Maybe, hopefully, if I send them like a fair trade, they'll pay attention, accept it, and give him a quarterback, and they can beat Mike.
Wow. No Dak love. Okay.
Do you want to talk about Dak love? Can I just read off his last? Because, yeah, I can talk about our bet of the Vikings-Cowboys. Dak's line, 7, 21, 16, 15, 5. Whereas Alexander Madison doing better than Dak Prescott.
21, 16, 15 ain't terrible. The 7 was against the Giants, which they won like 40-0. Just to defend my boys a little bit. I think he's better than CJ Stroud. I don't know about fantasy-wise. Fantasy-wise, there's an argument. Well, probably even skill-wise. Yeah. No, I'm just... I'm in a deep depression.
I feel like ever since his ankle got shattered, he hasn't really been that good.
Yeah, that was the end of it. He stopped running, and that was kind of like what made him different. Other than that, he's just kind of a mediocre passer, and he's playing scared.
Like, when you're that bad behind a good offensive line, are the Eagles the best offensive line? The Cowboys, like, second best? Like,
Eagles are best. Cowboys are probably 5-6, something like that.
I think I just saw a ridiculous stat that maybe you know of Zach Martin's the center, right?
Zach, he's the right guard.
Oh, yeah. He's let, like, 10 sacks go in hundreds of snaps. It's just
it's less than 10 for sure. It's like two.
Two sacks in like three snaps.
Yes.
Yeah.
That dude is a Hall of Famer, and we're wasting his prime. That's correct. Yeah. He's the best right guard in football, and probably has a argument that he's the best offensive lineman in football. And is being well wasted. That's correct.
Well, and apparently the Vikings offensive line is doing a lot better than I give them credit for, despite Kirk Cousins getting sacked on the last play of the game, which, yeah, I don't know if you watched that game. Speaking of refs, that's going to be another rant. But I mean, the Vikings shot themselves in the foot, but they also did not get helped.
Vikings shooting themselves in the foot? That's crazy.
They are, I think, 1-4 in 1-point games this year, and when they were like 13-0 in them last year.
Yeah, they used them all up last year.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess we should probably wrap it up. Now we're just going on and on because I don't think people are listening. But they probably turned it off a little while ago. I feel good. I think I can take down Torrey next week. I think Purdy is going to finally have an off game. You have any faith in your team against the Ducks? Want to?
I think the short answer is no. I think the long answer is probably also no. Most of my team is either coming off injury or struggling to even get on the field. If they do, they're going to put up like 5. I just don't have a lot of points. Like, somebody's got to put up 40 for me to sniff a win, because it's not like a lot of them are going to put up 15. Saquon might do okay, but they're playing in Buffalo. Amon-Ra, needs to score. Chris Olave needs to get better. Like, I got to see it before I got the confidence, and a lot of them I haven't even seen it. So,
did Saquon sign a 1-year deal, or is he on like another 3 or 4 year deal?
No, he's not a 1-year deal. He's not a prove it deal.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, whoops. You have that prove going it. For you.
Prove it, you dick. Anyways, no, I have no confidence. So we'll see how things go.
Oh, yeah, and the Houston defense has been, like, stupid good.
No confidence in the Cowboys. So, no confidence in my own team.
It's a good year. It's a good year. If you're interested in picking up NBA fantasy sports, I might have a league for you. I'm going into it. I know nothing about it, but that's for another podcast.
On that note.
Yeah, I feel like the only other thing we talk about every other week is our bet, which I am doing very well in. Justin Jefferson hurt, but Addison is going to be taking over that. I feel like that's faith in the Cowboys. Hopefully the Vikings don't start tanking it for a first-round draft pick. But, yeah, that'll be it for
When do I get to swap in the Cowboys' defense for one of their skill players in that bet?
We can talk about it. We can talk about it. Which skill player would you think that?
Oh, God.
I'd let you do the Cowboys defense with Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard's the best one of the three.
Exactly.
Dak and CeeDee are the ones shitting their pants.
Or we can just add defenses in there and have a fourth round of numbers.
At least give me a shot. Just a shot. Because right now I got to be behind by 50 points. At least. Anyways, we'll explore it. We'll let the loyal listeners know what we decided on next week.
All right. Well, for Dan Wood, I'm Steve Zhang. This has been the Rebirth Podcast, week 6, and we will probably talk to you all next week.
See ya.